Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Together this great meeting. Amen. My prayer is that beyond this life in eternity, you will see the fruit of this meeting and be glad. In Jesus' name. Thank you for putting it together. We are learning. Amen. And like one of my friends will say, thank you for counting me worthy in learning and character to also speak in a meeting like this. Hallelujah. The Lord honor you greatly. Reverend Chika, thank you so much, sir. Can we celebrate our Father in the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the interesting thing I found about Reverend Chika is that I was privileged of God, and that is just God anyway. I was privileged of God to pastor one of his daughters. Actually, my pastor in Kano was the one pastoring her. So I was there, I met her. So when she saw the publicity of this, with all excitement, she called me and said, Daddy, Daddy, you'll be meeting my daddy in Gombe. I say, and you are not there to introduce daddy to your daddy. Amen? So it's meeting of daddy and daddy. Praise the Lord. Ministry is one place you have plenty children. Amen? This is daughter, but we are co-parents. Thank you for the privilege of being co-father. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, like I said yesterday, that this morning I'll be sharing on how to discover your calling. Amen. And if you listen attentively, to a large extent, the job has been done. Praise the Lord. I was taking notes with two things at heart. Number one, to learn. And number two, to note the things I must not say. Praise the Lord. So at least I took note of the plenty how-to that was given to us about seven. Praise God. So at some point, I will just tell you, refer to what is written number six. So if you are not taking notes, you started failing exam right now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Very rich. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, how to discover your calling? I want to make two or three statements before I enter into the how properly. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Where I started from yesterday, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, talking about God, he said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and what? Grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before time began. Oh, that suggests that your calling is timeless, isn't it? Before time began, your calling is timeless. What does that mean? It's eternal, but it can only be fulfilled in time. Amen? Calling is timeless. Timeless, but can only be fulfilled in time. Hallelujah. Your calling was given to you in Christ Jesus before you were born, while you were still in heaven, but can only be fulfilled on earth. Are we talking here? So I want to suggest something to someone, and I know you will agree. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, the reason God sent you to this life is to fulfill your calling. Like we learned yesterday, your calling is your destiny, is your purpose, and is your ministry. Amen. I just believe that what I'm saying is scriptural. I can't go into explaining that now. But anytime you hear me say calling, you can name me ministry, purpose. Amen. So God sent you to this life to fulfill calling. In other words, life is an opportunity to fulfill calling. I'll say it again. Life is what? An opportunity to fulfill calling. You were born to fulfill your calling. Say amen. Life is an opportunity to fulfill calling. Now, here the scripture says the calling was given to us before time began. Can we read it in Old King James so that you see it? Amen. In a different way. Old King James, he said, this calling was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. How many of us were in this world before the world began? But your calling was given to you before the world began. That means your calling predates your existence. Amen. Are you with me? Your calling does what? Predates your existence. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Let me ask you, please, a simple question, if you don't mind. The clothes you are wearing, did they exist before you, or you existed before the clothes? You are not answering. Thank you. Praise God. That means the clothes exist because of your body, isn't it? Your body gives relevance to the clothes. Talk to me. Talk to me now. So, for example, you know, sometimes I give some funny example. I don't want to point anybody. But see what I'm wearing. If I pick somebody whose size is twice my size and give him this as a gift, talk to me. Will he go and trim his body weight to fit into the clothing? Or he will give tailor the clothes to adjust to fit into his body? Huh? They adjust the clothes for the body. Why? The body existed before the clothes. And your calling existed before you. So hear this. God can never adjust your calling to fit you. Mm-mm. What does God adjust? He will adjust your life to fit into your calling. Why? This calling has been before you. Hallelujah. So, like God's servant, our father was talking, Reverend Chika, in meeting like this, what God is doing is adjusting us. He's removing something. He's adding something. By the time you leave this place, you will look more like your assignment. Aya. I say you will look more like your assignment. In the name of Jesus. You know, God wired us differently. I watch Reverend Chika. He will teach so many powerful things. Whether you say amen or not, he will continue. But me, the price you pay for being under me is you will say amen. Then no answer me. I will go and sit down now. Ask your neighbor, are you ready to pay the price? What is the price? Amen. Amen. Now, the same way your body gives relevance to your clothing, your calling gives relevance to your existence. So, my existence is of no use without my calling. If you agree, say I agree. My existence is meaningless without my calling. Praise God. The calling existed before the world. Now, let me try and read some few things. Amen. So Paul, you know, Paul was the one that wrote this to Timothy. Now see something else he said about calling in Galatians 1 verse 15 and 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Can you stop playing that for a while? Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's tempting me to be an evangelist. Ah, I see the crown. You know, if I try that... I'll need a serious massage. And tonight you not see me again. Somebody say, I hear. You know, sincerely, Galatians 1:15, to be sincere with you, sometimes when I see evangelists and preachers vibrating, what surprised me is that the next day they still came for the meeting. I'll be asking, where did you get the energy from? The one I'm doing gently like this, I get tired. But, somebody! I was teaching in one meeting. I just said what I said now. Your calling existed before you. The person on keyboard went, then the drum did, dun, dun, dun. I made the next statement. I said, when I saw people stood up, they are ready to dance. I said, no, I have come to teach. I beg, stop that. But you know, there are some people that they cannot preach unless you press that thing. Let every man abide in his own calling. Praise the Lord. Can I ask you a question? All right. This morning session, let's fellowship a little. What is the best calling on earth? Huh? The one God gave you. I mean it. What is the best calling? The one God gave you. What is the best gift? The one God gave you. What is the best assignment? The one God gave you. Dr. Mike Mudock said it this way, that an over admiration of another man's gift will blind you from seeing your own. See, celebrate the grace on others, but don't despise yours. Paul said, I magnify my office. Say amen. But when it pleased God, look at this. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Here Paul said that God separated him and called him from his mother's womb. In other words, your calling predates your birth. Say amen. Your calling predates your birth. Birthday is simply a celebration of calling. Anytime a child is born, another calling is introduced to the earth. Did you get that? Anytime a child is born, another calling is introduced to the earth. That means, when God sends a man to this earth, he's sending an assignment. Everybody, the Bible said about John the Baptist, there was a man sent of God. See, every one of us are sent by God to this earth to do different things. Say an amen. So, why are you on earth? Help me. Answer now. Why are you on earth? Thank you. To fulfill my calling, to fulfill my destiny. Answer it. I need your answer. Why are you on earth? Thank you. So can I suggest something? If you are not fulfilling your calling, you have no business celebrating birthday. Birthday is not an opportunity to cut cake. Is an opportunity to reflect on why I am on earth. I hope I will see our friends in this place. Maybe somebody's birthday is tomorrow. You have prepared cake already, and now the world is hitting you. Sincerely, if you are not fulfilling calling, you have no business celebrating birthday, because you are on earth to fulfill calling. So one of the advice I give my leaders and church members generally is this. Don't cut cake on your birthday if your life is not on cutting edge. But you know, some of us will borrow money to bake cake. First layer, second layer, third layer. Although, somebody recently revealed to me the Ojoro they do. First layer is empty. Second layer is empty. Third layer is just one cake. But they dress everything. They call it what? Dummies. And dummies will watch that and borrow money to do the same thing. No. Sincere. Don't cut cake if your life is not on cutting edge. You were born to fulfill your calling. Say with me, my calling predates my existence. Now, let me ask you something, please. Can you choose something that existed before you were born? Thank you. So let's note this. Your calling is not your decision, it's your discovery. It's not your decision, it is what? Your discovery. I think that's chapter 4 in this book, Understanding Your Calling. If you get it, you will help me with some of this thing I'm telling you in summary. Amen. You did not choose your calling. Hello. You did not choose your calling. Who chose it for us? Let's read it. But when it pleased God. Say it with me. When it. I beg now. Make una dey help me. When it. Your calling is not what is pleasing to you. It's what is pleasing to God about you. That's why you have to ask God, what will you have me do? Is what is pleasing to God about you, not what is pleasing to you. Somebody just look at the way they are prophesying and say, my calling is a prophet. No. I say it another way. Your calling is not your choice for your life. It's God's choice for your life. Say amen. Is what? God's choice for your life. You are not wise enough to choose your calling. I don't look for trouble. Praise the Lord. Now, looking at us, just at a glance, I can see many of us here are parents. Amen. So let me ask you a question. When your child turned 2 years or 3 years and it's time for school, you value education. If you value education, say amen. How many of us, when your child turned 3, you said to your child, you see, ba, without formal education, you will not do well in life. So to do well, I want you to go around the city of Gombe, locate the best school and enroll. How many of us did that to our children? But what did you do? You chose it for your child, isn't it? You went around and chose it because you don't trust him to be wise enough to choose his school. Likewise, God looked at you and said, you are not wise enough to choose your destiny. You are not wise enough to choose your calling. So with his foreknowledge and insight, he looked into eternity and chose your calling for you. Say an amen. Amen. Say another amen. Amen. You know what that means to me, sir? That means accepting my calling is honoring God's choice. Rejecting my calling is despising God's choice. So calling is not something you decide. It's what you discover. It's not what you choose. It's what you are chosen for. Say amen. You know, sometimes we confuse career and calling. Can I use 3 minutes to distinguish some things? Are we ready? Your career is what you choose for yourself. Your calling is what you are chosen for. God chose you for it. Your career is what you are paid for. Your calling is what you are made for. So, in your career, if they don't pay you, you go on strike. In calling, whether they pay you or not, you keep doing it because that's who you are. Your career is what you are doing for a living. Correct? What do you do for a living? I'm a medical doctor. I'm a classroom teacher. I'm a carpenter. What you do for a living? But calling is not what you do for a living. Calling is what you are living to do. That's why whether persecution or honorarium, you see pursue calling. The only thing that stops you from fulfilling calling is that you have died. Say amen. Say amen now. How many of us have ever demanded that your friend or your parents or your boss pay you for breathing oxygen? Do you ever do that? If you say, if nobody pays me, I will stop breathing, what will happen? You have died. Praise God. In fact, in some cases, they ask you to pay for the oxygen you need. If somebody is critically ill, they say, pay for the oxygen. Amen. So, calling is not what you are paid to do, it's what you pay to do. Say an amen. I'm taking much time in this introduction. I hope you are getting something. Now, but it will help my explanation. Let's see what Jeremiah said about his calling. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. Praise God. Hati galagasa. As a praise the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, yes, what did the word say? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out from the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee as a prophet to the nations. Now, here God is telling Jeremiah, I called you before I formed thee. Now, if you understand basic biology, what God is saying is, before fertilization took place, I called you. Now, I'm not sure everybody understands fertilization. Before your daddy met your mommy, God called you. So, the reason for pregnancy is calling. So, is it okay I talk a little biology? You know, I was teaching human biology for many years, so it's difficult to just leave that thing. You'll pardon me if I don't talk anything much after that. What's the reason for pregnancy? I better talk now. That means abortion of pregnancy is abortion of calling and destinies. You see why abortion is so terrible before God? Let me tell you the truth. Fornication is bad, abortion is worse. The way you went quiet, like you are experts in doing abortion. Sorry, that was a joke. Amen? Amen? Every conception you see is a conception of calling. Now, okay, let me explain a little in human biology. Some of us that did biology, you understand what I'm saying. Amen? Biological science tells us that for a woman to conceive, praise God, she donates what? An egg. And then what will happen? The sperm from the man must meet the egg. Praise the Lord. Now, here are the interesting parts. According to biology, the woman donates how many egg? One. Anytime she donates two, that we have twins, they say is abnormality. What any medical science doesn't understand, they call it. How can you call a miracle like twins abnormality? If it's abnormality, Lord, let my life be full of abnormalities. Amen. Everything is double-double. All right. Now, so, but I want you to hear this. It will bless somebody, I'm sure. The woman donates one egg. But you know the man, medical science tells us that for a fertile man, the sperm release is about 100 million cells per microliter. And about 5 mils of sperms are released in every ejaculation. So if you multiply 100 by 500, that is how many? 500 million. If you are still with me, wave, let me see. You know, this one is not Bible, so I need you to be with me. Amen? If you're a doctor or a nurse, you can relate with what I'm saying. I'm not exaggerating anything. So, the woman donates one. The man donates over 500 million. So, whatever a woman can do, a man can do better. That is why I'm not looking at any sister, amen? That is why men are more generous than women. Because when a woman brings my one, man will bring 500 million. I hope. Let me face you as I talk, daddy. You know, in some family, to run the finances, the man will say, okay, you bring your contribution, I'll bring my own, then together we'll run the home. So if you are doing family contribution, when your wife bring 1,000, you should bring 500 million. Some men are closing their faces now. Men, you know our response to that? God is my help. God is my help. Well, I'm glad I'm teaching this boldly because my wife is not here. Amen? If your wife is here, you have entered one chance. Oh, but God is our source. Praise the Lord. Joshua. Now, but see, while you are laughing, I'm taking us somewhere. Please, listen. You'll be blessed. So, they said, the woman releases one egg. The man releases over 500 million. 500 million. And you know the interesting thing, sir? Among these 500 million sperm cells released, only one that fertilizes the egg. You know the one that fertilizes the egg? The one that has a calling. And you know the way medical science tells us that the moment a man meets his wife, those 500 million cells, they are on a race. On your mask, get set, go. They start running. Pop, 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 pop. The one that has calling will beat the other ones and will fertilize. And the moment it fertilizes, the other ones become supporting meal to that one. That means even from your mother's womb, you are one in over 500 million. You have been winning from your mother's womb. You will keep winning. Hey, they didn't hear me. I said you will keep winning. That's why the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcometh the world. Because your calling is of God. Even when you did not left from right in your mother's womb, you overcame. Child of God, I have an announcement for you. If you overcame before you were born, now that you are born, you keep overcoming. I say you keep overcoming. But you know what limits us? When we step out of calling. In the place of your calling, you are a winner always. That's why I tell people, don't rejoice if somebody tells you you are one in a million. That's demotion. Before you were born, sir, you are one in 500 million. But now that you are born, can I introduce you? You are one in the world. There's nobody like you. What God designed for you to do, only you can do it. Say an amen. Hey, say another amen. So you are here because you have an assignment. There is a calling upon your head. God created you, gave you an assignment, and sent you to this world. So I add another thing here. You came to this world with your calling. Did you hear me? You came to this world with your calling. Who gave you the calling? Talk to me again. Who gave you the calling? So my number one point, the addition to what Daddy have said. My number one point, if you want to know your calling, ask God. Don't ask man. Ask God. Lord, what will you have me do? That was what Paul asked in the scripture we read yesterday. Acts 9, verse 5 and 6. Lord, what will you have me do? Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Let's see this scripture. Very interesting. Amen. If you want to know your calling, what should you do? Ask. Ask God. Don't ask any man. What did God say? Call unto me and I will answer thee. He did not say I may. I will answer thee and show thee the great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Child of God, listen. If you call, God will reveal. Say amen. If you call, God will reveal. I say it again. If you call, what will happen? God will reveal. Now, let me say something before I continue to point number two. Go to Acts 20, 26 from verse 14. So Paul was giving a narrative of his calling. Praise God. Acts 26 and verse 14. He said, after we have fallen down to the earth, I had a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue. In Hebrew tongue. How many of us, God, have ever spoken to us in Hebrew tongue? But Paul said God spoke to him in Hebrew tongue. You know why? He was a Jew. He was a Hebrew. You understand Hebrew more than any other. God will speak to you in the language you understand best. You, a northerner in Nigeria, God will not speak to you in Chinese and say, go find that interpretation. Our God is not speak to us in puzzle. No, he's speaking a very simple. So he said, a voice speaking to me in Hebrew tongue saying, what did the voice say? Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Now that's his calling. Then I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 16. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, help me read, and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. Switch to New King James. Let's read this verse again. New King James. There's something I want you to see there. Thank you. New King James, verse 16. Verse 16, please. Thank you. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you what? A minister and a witness, both of the things which you have. Now read with me slowly. The things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Now I'll make a statement here, but let me present to you. Maybe here is Jesus before Paul. Imagine yourself if you were Paul. Jesus appeared. He's telling you about your calling. And he said, there's more that I've not told you. I will yet tell you. If you were Paul, what would you say? Please, Jesus, tell me all now. How many of us agree with what I'm saying? But he said, yeah, there is yet that I will tell you. You know why? Only you want to know. Come, let me whisper it to you. You know why? God will never reveal to you the full picture of your calling. Calling is revealed to us in part, a little at a time. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Not his race, his steps. One step at a time. So God says, I will yet reveal. I will yet reveal to you. I will yet reveal to you. Is somebody getting blessed apart from me? I will yet reveal to you. What does that mean, I will yet reveal to you? That means there is still so much about your calling in the mind of God that you don't know yet. So please hear me. This will help you. This will help you. Discovering your calling is a lifetime assignment. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifetime assignment. What God does to us is that he reveals a little at a time. Another little at a time. Another little at a time. Somebody say an amen. So, can I submit to someone? What you know about your calling is not all that you need to know. So when we talk about discovering your calling, don't sit down, cross your legs, say, thank God, I have found mine. Irony. No matter what you know about your calling, you know in part. Somebody tell your neighbor, you know in part. Aha. Tell another one, you know in part. So now, probably some of you know me as a teacher of the word. You may wake up tomorrow and hear Joshua attend the evangelistic crusade. You say that is deviation. No, it's direction. They don't hear me. No matter what you know about your calling, you know how. Talk to me. How do you know? So let's assume this is God Almighty. He has shown me one part. I have gone running. And I need to get more knowledge. What should I do? Go back to him for part two. I'm running. I need more. What do I do? Go back to him for part three. So the second most important key to discovering your calling is deep intimacy with God. The more you stay with him, the clearer the picture of your assignment. The more you stay with God, the clearer the picture of your assignment. Discovering your calling is not a one-time event. It's a lifetime assignment. Hallelujah. Callings are discovered in phases. I'm sure you probably have heard some people talk about the Lord said, I finished the first phase of my ministry. I'm in the second phase. I'm in the third phase. I'm in the last phase. How many of us have heard such a thing? Praise God. Praise God. But it's sad. Brother Hagin said, Jesus told him one time that many ministers live and die without entering into the first phase of what I have for them. But they are ministers. That's why I understood when he said some people are pastors, but they are not born again. Praise the Lord. Calling is discovered in stages, phases, a little at a time. If you stay with God, you will discover more of your assignments. Say an amen, please. If you stay with God, you will discover more of your assignment. If you are faithful, now that takes us to the third point. Amen. You see, even though God has revealed something to me, if I don't do anything about it, I say, God, more, he will not do. So, but as I go faithfully doing what he has said, when I come for next visit, he said, okay, son, it's time to do this. So the third key to discovering your calling is faithfully doing what God has told you to do. Just be faithful. Whatever he has told you to do, stay with it. Do what he has said. Glory, hallelujah. Faithfully. Don't even bother about some other things. Amen. What God has not said to you is none of your business. What matters is what he has said to you. Faithfully doing what he has told you to do. As you are faithful, at one time he will tell you, you are through with primary school about your calling. Now it's secondary school. You are faithful, he will tell you another. Praise God. They don't hear me. Oh, praise God. You know, a man of God shares a testimony. Very interesting. Amen. He was teaching about knowing your place. Praise God. Then he said, there's this member of his that's been in church for a while that came to him and said, Pastor, I've been waiting on God to know my calling. I know there's a call to ministry, but I don't know what it is. I don't even know how to go about it. I've been waiting on God for it. Please, help me pray. Maybe God will tell you what I need to do, then communicate to me. You know, when the man of God went to pray, you know what God said to him about that his member? He said, I have given him two instructions. He has not kept them. Tell them, until he keeps these two instructions, I will never give him the third one. You know the two instructions God gave him? Get a job and keep it. You know what? Huh? Huh? Discovering your calling is not an exit out of employment. Okay, maybe you didn't get that. Discovering your calling does not translate to resigning from work. Some people discover calling on Sunday. On Monday, they resign. Then on Tuesday, they hunger. Wednesday, they become beggars. Thursday, they complain about God. Friday, they backslide. If you are not faithful in pursuit of calling while you are still on the job, you will not be in full time. So this man, all that God said is, get a job and keep it. How does that relate full-time ministry? If you are not faithful with little, you will never be with much. Somebody say an amen. Amen. Ah, say another amen. Amen. Number four. Huh? It's number four, isn't it? In discovering your calling, number four, discover your gifts and your grace. Discover your gifts and your grace. Discover your gifts and your grace. Romans 11 verse 29, please. Where are my four volunteers of yesterday? Please come with your writing material. Let me use you to finish. One is not around. Pastor Frama, right? Can you join them, please? Oh, you're around, sir. You changed. Okay. Thank you. I have my four volunteers again. Amen. Thank you for telling us to stay on our lane. Let every man abide in his own calling. One time after one meeting, one pastor asked me, he said, Pastor Tende, I have a question for you. Must you do illustration when you are teaching? I said, that is what I've been asking God too. He has not answered me. Can I talk to you? Anything about your life that you did not decide, you discover, is related to your assignments. Two people heard me. This one. Thank you, sir. You are wired for your assignment. Anything about yourself, I mean, you did not plan it, you did not choose it, you just discover this is who you are, is what? Related to your assignment, your calling. How many of us regret being Nigerians? Let me see your hand, please. Nobody? I want to talk to God about you. Thank you. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, beautiful. 7. 7 people. Amen. Let me ask you. Did you decide to be a Nigerian? Huh? You see, you cannot regret what you did not choose. Kai. Let me ask you, church, generally. Who made you a Nigerian? Who chose you to be a Nigerian? Does he make mistake? So regretting being a Nigerian is questioning the choice of God. Please ask me a question so that I will answer you. Ask me, why am I a Nigerian? You are not asking, I won't tell you. Ask everybody. Because your calling requires a Nigerian for it to be fulfilled. If you were an Indian or an American, your calling will never be fulfilled. That means your calling decides your geographical location. You are not from Northeast by choice. You are from Northeast by assignment. Why are you a black man? Your calling cannot be fulfilled by a white man. I remember the first book I wrote, Must Every Christian Speak in Tongue? A great minister, one white man, you know, was in Nigeria one time we met. So I gave him a copy of the book, complimentary. You know, this happened 2010. He now read, overnight, by the next day he had gone halfway. He said, Kai, Pastor Tendi, this book blessed me. Now, this person learned directly under Kenneth Hagin. And you know, Kenneth Hagin wrote so many things on speaking in tongues, taught so much on it. He said, it blessed me not because it's new. He said, let me ask you something. Have you been listening to Kenneth Hagin? I said, sure. He said, well, I could feel the trace of it reading this. Then he said, you know what blessed me most about your book? I said, tell me, sir. He said, this book couldn't have been written by an American. He said, reading the language and communication, you know, this is a Nigerian. He said, and that Nigerian factor compelled people to speak in tongues. So if I had become an American, I would not. Some of you, if you understand your calling, you will not be thinking of Jackpa. The reason why you've been praying for visa no Greek come. Your assignment require you to be in Nigeria, in Gombe, in Tumfre. They are not saying amen now. Somebody's heart is dropping. Amen. Now, let me tell you something as I proceed. Amen. Listen. Yeah, a few minutes ago. But we'll just close on time. Are you getting blessed? Listen to me. Let me differentiate something. Teaching is not a calling. It's a gift. Teacher is not a calling. It's an office. Fivefold ministry gift. Apostle is not a calling. It's an office. Prophet is an office. Teacher is an office. Evangelist is an office. Pastor is an office. Teaching is a gift. Calling is an assignment. So, if God gives you a teaching gift and call you to the teaching office, you need to find out the assignment you should fulfill with the teaching gifts. Are we communicating here? I've seen many people, you say, what's your calling? You say, teacher. I will not have you ignorant, they told us. Is that not so? Praise God. Praise God. All right, so let me read this. I said, my fourth point is discover your gift and your grace. See, the Bible said, for the gift and what? What comes first? Gift or calling? Help me again. What comes first? That means there are no calling without gifts. Is that not so? No calling without gifts. Calling is proof of gifts. Gifts are pointers to calling. If you see a gift in your life, you can trace it to your calling. Say an amen. Amen. Now, I'd say another thing that I believe many of us don't pay attention to when we read this verse. For many years, I didn't see this until God helped me. Let's read it together if you don't mind. For gifts, plural, and calling, singular. Let's try it again. Gifts, plural, calling. Nobody has more than one calling. Calling is one, gifts are many. So, you know why? Your calling is one with your life. If you say you have two calling, you are saying you have two life. When one died, the other one will pick up. Some say I have five calling, five life. Calling is one. Study it, whoever, whatever. The assignment is one. The gifts are many. God gives us many gifts to fulfill one calling. No believer has one gift. Gifts. So when you say, I have found my gift, you just discovered one. There are more to discover. Hey, hey, woo. Do I still have amen? So if I study my gifts, I will discover my calling. Now, what is gift? Simple definition. Gift is divine endowment. There's a difference between gifts and talents. Amen? Talents are what? Natural endowments. But gifts are supernatural endowments. Unbelievers may have talents, but no unbeliever has gifts. Gifts are only received in Christ. A good teacher in primary or secondary school is a talented teacher. But a teacher in church is a gifted teacher. So that you are teaching in secondary school and your students are clapping does not mean you are called to teach in church. Teaching in school is a talent. Teaching in church is a gift. So, the amen have dropped. Maybe I've overstayed my welcome. Are you still in the house? You need to find. There are some that are both gifted teachers and talented teachers. So they will teach well in church and teach well in school. But that you have served in ministry of education and became permanent secretary does not mean you are called to teach in church. So when you retire, they say, what is your calling? You say, teacher now. I've been teaching ministry of education. Now even government say you are retired. Is it God that you are useful to? Sorry, you didn't hear me. Now, there's another one called grace. You know grace? Grace, a synonym for grace is ability. Divine ability. Enablement. Amen? Grace is the ability of God that causes us to function with ease. Now, in the place of your call, you have grace. And when you are functioning under grace, you'll be shining. Like what you were explaining, sir, early on. Because Papa Kumu, in the place of his grace, say, in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody wants to say that. It's not in the voice. It's in the calling. There's another man of God. I won't call name. If you call, now you sabi. For many years in this nation, he liked wearing white, head to toe. Then he'll fry his hair. You just come near and say, power the Holy Ghost. Then you go down. When you say Holy Ghost, you go down holy. So I saw many young men too. They would dress up and say, power the Holy Ghost. The people will be looking at it. I say, power the Holy Ghost. Power the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. For where? It's not in Holy Ghost. Can I say something? When a man finds his place, fools will copy him. So you either found your place or you're operating as a fool. You know, sir, yesterday when I came, I was wearing my kaftan. Then I saw you in suit, you were teaching. And the way you would teach and unbutton and button. I wanted to tell him protocol, please, I want to go and wear a suit. It's like anytime he unbutton, unction will flow. I say, this thing is in suit. Oh. So I say, well, let me endure and see how Reverend Chika does it this morning. If he suit too, truly, I'll go to market and buy a suit. But when I saw Reverend Chika, amen, and then his shoe is not covered, I say, somebody need to cut the back of my shoe, amen. I'm not sure you even get conscious that you button and unbutton. You just do it. Amen? But you know, somebody that watches closely now, anytime they say you should minister, bam, 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 bam. Can I talk to you? I'm sorry, sir. All right, let me switch to another story. There's a man of God I was privileged to learn under him too for some time. This man of God had K-leg. Had. He's late. K-leg. Sharp one. Amen. So if he's not preaching, he can just manage the moving of the leg. But when the anointing of God hits him, you see him like this. The Bible says. I mean, that's how he moves. Then unconsciously, many pastors under him, even with straight leg, once they are teaching, say, the Bible says. The Bible says. You know why? In the place of your calling, your mistake is a style. What ordinarily people will laugh at you about has become a style. Why? It's your place. It's your place. It's your place. All right, let me quickly do the illustration with them. What's the name, sir? Pastor Dan. Okay. What's your name?
Pastor Mickey.
Let me switch you with Pastor Noah so that I don't put you on the spot. Amen. Please, church, you cooperate with me. Amen. Let's do this illustration together. Are you with me? Let's assume I'm sending Pastor Nuhu to just across the road here to get me bottled water because I'm thirsty to continue my message. Did you get that? Then I'm sending Pastor Meki to Bauchi. Amen. There is a shop there that sells good outfits. I want him to get a good suit for Pastor and Mama for tomorrow. Where is he going to? Bauchi. I am sending Pastor Philip. I'm sending him to Lagos. Amen. There's a car there I want him to get for Reverend Chika. Lagos. Amen. I am sending Pastor Dan to UK. Are you with me? I want Pastor Dan to get to UK and get a befitting venue where we'll start Gateway. We have church here already, sir. Okay, where we'll start Gateway Christian Center there. A befitting center, befitting accommodation for the pastor we will send and his wife. And praise the Lord. Are you with me? So, how much will I give him? Estimate, please, quick. 10,000 pounds in naira, that's about 20 million naira. Will that serve? Give me a better figure. Give me a better figure. 100,000 pounds. 100 million. Do we agree? Will I tell him to go and look for 100 million? What will I do? I will give him. Thank you. What I am giving him is grace. He's going to get the venue, his assignment, calling. He's going to pick a car from Lagos. Maybe the car is 20 million naira. How much will I give him? Like 25 million logistics. Can you see? 100 million? 25 million. He is going to Bauchi. Get a pair of suit for pastor and for mom. How much will I give him? No. Suit for man of God. 1 million will not do, I beg. Don't talk like Gombe people. Talk like believers. 2 million? All right. You say 5 million. Let's manage the 5 million. 5 million naira. Are you following? 100? 25? I am sending him across road to buy bottled water. How much will I give him? 1,000. Now you are enjoying at my expense. My time is running. How much should I give him? 500 naira, I accept. Now, please, go with me. 500 naira, 5 million, 25 million, 100 million. Who do I love most among them? Are you sure? So, your gift and grace are not revelation of God's love for you. They are revelation of your assignment. Please answer this. This will bless you. When he returns, I have found the venue, I found the house, I've paid for it, we've had equipment, pastor should go. What will I answer him? Well done. Thank you. Good and faithful servant. Then he returns, I have bought the car, we can see it. Well done. Thank you. Good and faithful servant. He returns with the suit. What will I tell him? Thank you. He returns with bottled water, 500 naira only. What will I answer him? Thank you. Are they receiving the same reward? So God does not reward gift and grace nor calling. He rewards faithfulness. Your grace does not mean you will receive greater reward. It's what you do about it that matters. Can I talk in English so that you hear me? I know you didn't hear me. Can I talk in English? People, they vex me this morning. Can I talk in English? So I ask you a question. Between a chief apostle and chief usher, who will receive greater reward from God? The most faithful. God does not reward titles. He rewards faithfulness. If you understand that, you won't be in a hurry to call yourself Apo. You know, in our generation, everybody is Apo. But when you look at their life, you cannot find Ah. Not to think of Po. Maybe there's Ah for apple to be eaten. That's all. Somebody say an amen. It's not your title, it's your faithfulness. Let me preach it to two persons. Should I tell you what's making me to dance? Huh? What is he going to get for me? How much is it? If I give him 100 million naira and say, go and get a bottle of water, how many of us know he'll be confused? He will say, sir, I didn't get your instruction. I mean, go and get one bottle of water. He say, no, sir. It cannot work. So I ask you, does he need the 100 million of this man to get me a bottle of water? Huh? You don't need another man's grace nor gift to fulfill your assignment. Here is my point. Your gift is good for your assignment. So the greater the gift, most likely, greater the assignment. So in trying to discover your place, hey, stop looking at another man's gift. Stay with yours. Please help me preach to two persons. Say your gift is good enough for your assignment. Tell another person your grace is good enough for your assignment. Now tell them, you don't need Reverend Chika's grace. You don't need Reverend HM's grace. You don't need Reverend Tende's grace. Stay with yours. Man of God, manje wanita aroke then. I don't want the world to hear it. So after teaching, a young man came with a tattered 200 naira note. He gave me, he said, sir, I want your grace. I say, even if it is for sale, 200 naira cannot buy it. Did you get what I'm trying to say? You don't receive grace by sowing seed. You receive grace when calling was given to you. What will your seed do? You become partaker of grace. But you don't receive grace. Say an amen. Say, my gift is good enough for my assignment. Say it for the last time. My gift is good enough for my assignment. So let's assume he has a private jet to fly with it to UK. Praise God. Then he meets Pastor Nuhu that is just water. And because I gave him 500 naira, he's able to buy two bottle water. He gave me one. I said, that's good enough. The other one is yours. Then he now said, for your journey, you can take this. Then how many of us know he can tag along with him in the private jet for Yahoo, not for assignment? He's partaking of grace. As he takes the water, he's partaking of grace. But that's not his assignment. As far as your assignment is concerned, your gift and grace is good Thank you. Go to your seat. Amen. Permit me to mention just two more points. I won't explain. You will know them. My time is up. You see, somebody is asking, and that's why I want to answer. You want to sleep here. And your name is not Peter. Permit me to say this. Praise God. As somebody is asking, Pastor, how then do I know my gift or my grace? You see, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. NIV, please. Let me just read that and say something. Oh, the Gaza. Hey, God. Ha! Who is blessed apart from me? Let me hear an amen in the house. Now, read with me slowly if you don't mind. Each one of you should use what? Whatever gift you have received to what? To serve others. Let's read it again. Each one of you should use what? Whatever gift you have received. So, please, hear me. Gifts are for service. Gifts are not for oppressions. Not for intimidation. Don't bamboozle others with your gifts. Serve them. I've seen some people, not here now, not in this city. I've not met many in this city. But I've seen some people that said, I have prophetic anointing. I can tell you everything in your heart is a lie. The Bible says we know in part and prophesy in part. And when you say that you're oppressing the people of God, it's not right. I've seen some others, they have teaching gifts. You hear them say, I will show you what you've never seen from the word of God. That is pride. We are custodians of all, possessors of nothing. Nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new I've said here that you have heard. In fact, the reason why what I say is blessing you is that it's coming with my grace. It's not that you've not heard it. You just say, God, it's just the way you said it. That is grace. Gifts are for what? Say it aloud. Say it. Gifts are for what? So to discover your gift, serve faithfully in the house of God. Also to find your grace, serve faithfully in the house of God. You know, the reason why many people have not found their gift or grace, they are not serving. Serve. Help me say serve. For the last time. Now, let me mention the next point, then I will explain this and close. How many have I given you? Five? The fifth one, serve. Number six, please listen to this. To discover your place, pay attention to what your pastor, mentors, and spiritual leaders encourage in your life. I repeat, to discover your gift, what should you do? Pay attention to what your pastors, mentors, and spiritual leaders encourage in your life. You know, Paul speaking about that in first word now, Lord Jesus. No, Galatians chapter 2 from verse 7. He said, when Peter, James, and John, who are pillars in the house of God, saw the grace given to me and Barnabas, what did they do? They gave unto us right hand of fellowship. In other words, leaders have the God-given ability to recognize grace. So can I make a confession here? This book you talk about is the only book I wrote that God did not tell me to write. And when you said it bless you, I said, this thing, they work. The way you people are quiet. Kun Salameni. Natashi Aiki. You know how I wrote that book? I was privileged to teach on understanding your calling for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. In that meeting, Saturday morning, we are supposed to be just 20 people there, quote and unquote, not a serious meeting. Then, my mentor, Dr. John Agbami walked into the meeting and sat down. Just as they are saying, we are about to invite man of God, he came in. So I turned and greeted him. I said, Daddy, what are you looking for here? He said, I've come to listen to you. I said, it's not fair. If I knew you were coming, I'll prepare better. I beg, which kind? I said, Daddy, please go. Go and prepare for Sunday. He said, no, I'm here. Hi! So I taught for 30 minutes, actually 25 minutes. I left the 5 minutes. I said, maybe Daddy will say something. When I say any question, the first hand up was Daddy's one. I say, I've entered one chance. I said, no, Daddy, it's not fair. If you want to contribute, okay. He said, no question. Then he asked his question. Then after the meeting, let me fast forward. That's why if you have the book, you will see forward by him. After the meeting, he told me, Pastor Tende, I'm really blessed. Do you have a book on that? I said, no. Are you planning to write one? I said, no. He said, pray. If God permits you, write. Because what you shared blessed me. I want it to bless many more people. So I looked at him. I said, Daddy, with all due respect, I will not pray. If it blesses you, it will bless at least 1 million person. Say, how many people are in your class? So I wrote that book because a mentor says, write. Here is the point I'm making. The books God said, write, I wrote them, they are impacting life. The one a mentor says, write, I wrote, is also impacting life, even much more. That tells me there are two ways God can speak to you. Either straight in your spirit or through your mentor. Whatever your mentor encourages in your life is a pointer to your assignment. You are doing ushering. One day your pastor say, go to worship team. You say, I cannot sing. Go and learn how to sing. I know I won't get your amen because you don't want mentor. If you don't want mentor, you end up with tormentors. But you see, one of the easiest way to know your place is what your mentors encourage in your life. You'll be pointing the same thing. Praise the Lord. So, the last story I say I will tell us about discovering your gift. Amen. Praise the Lord. In 1989, I set out on a journey to discover my gift. A pastor taught, like I'm talking now, you need to find your calling. If you find your calling, then you fulfill your destiny. If you don't find it, no future for you. I say, which one be my calling now? As if he had me. See, some of you are asking, which one is my calling? Get to serve in different units in church and you will find your place. So when you serve, you find your grace. When you find your grace, you find your calling. Are you following my story? So the first unit I joined was choir. Sun kore ni kamandan choir. I mean, I joined choir. They drove me. The leader of the choir, day one, we are doing rehearsal. She just stood and said, somebody's voice here is quenching the move of the spirit. So she moved to the role where I was. She said, other role, keep quiet. This role, sing. When she got to my role, I lowered my voice. Say, Brother Tende, come and sing. I just started. The Bible says better is the end of a matter than the beginning. She didn't even allow me to end. I just started. He said, please go and sit down. God will show you where you belong, not here. It happened on a Saturday morning. I'll never forget. So on Sunday morning, I saw the deacon that was in charge of evangelism, hospital, and prison visitation. I said, sir, I want to join your unit to learn evangelism. So we went to prison, sir. Until then, I had not preached. So I went with the mind, I will see how it is done, especially that I was rejected in choir. So as we went to prison, that day, they say, okay, we are not going word by word. We are gathering in the chapel, and then we'll take the word. I say, okay, praise God. I will see how they preach to prisoners. We are singing worship. 3 minutes to the end of the worship, the leader passed a note to me. He said, Tende, the worship will end in 3 minutes. After that, you will share for 45 minutes. I opened my mouth, looked at him. He said, yes. I said, sir, who am I passing this note to? He said, you. Hey, wahala, wear cover shoe. I said, the same way they spotted me and rejected me in choir, now you want me to be thrown out. Anyway, to cut the long story short, I spoke. No, I talk. I say something, sha. What did I say? I don't know. What was my title? The same thing our pastor preached that Sunday morning. God has a better tomorrow for you. That was what I said. So when I said it, I closed my eyes because people that were in the church and followed me were there. They will know it's a copied message. So I preach. 6 adults gave their life to Christ. One of them was Baba, 72 years old. After the service, he held my leg. I was 17 years then. He held my leg. No, I was 16 years. Why are you adding your age? He held my leg and was in tears. He said, my son or grandson, you have saved me from going to hell. I've been experiencing hell here, and I'm about going to hell. May this light you have brought to me keep shining. I was in tears. He was in tears. Then, sir, the pastor of the prison fellowship and the leader, they came to me and said, Kai, what a blessing, Brother Tende. Then they said something I will never forget. I was really shouting. You know how I was preaching? God has a better tomorrow for you. That's how I was talking. Then both of them simultaneously said, you know what? As if they planned. He said, you know what? When you slow down and explain, you will be a better blessing to us than when you are shouting. That is the beginning of teaching gifts. Slow down to explain. But how did it happen? I was seeking for where to serve. Where are my choir people? So they rejected me from choir, celebrated me on the pulpit. So I came up with an expression that I believe will help somebody. In seeking to know your gift, grace, and calling, rejection is direction.
Hallelujah.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.